Today on a special holiday edition of the Travel Guys.
We share with you our favorite interviews of the year, from the Tiny House Hotel in Portland to a visit to the Seabiscuit Ranch near Ukiah.
Mark, you remember the listener trip on the Magic Bus in San Francisco last summer? I'll tell you, we all felt like hippies once again. Man, that was really a lot of fun.
Or the guy who told us how he rents out his home on Airbnb. That was really an interesting interview. You know, it's been a fun year on the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. You're about to hear the best guests of the year right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on the Route 66.
With the show.
Last show of 2014 underway. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's a best of show, Mark, and we've really got some fun stuff. To me, some of the most memorable interviews that we did this year.
It was fun to go back through the all of the people who have been on the program. Gosh, we could have done a whole month of best of shows, really. I mean, maybe that's kind of egotistical to say, but we've had some good people on. It's not about us. It's about the people who have been on the program, and we've had some great folks. And let's get started. The first one that I wanted to include in the program today, you know, when we went up to Portland and we talked to Deb, the gal who's got those little tiny houses that she's turned into a hotel up there in Portland, I really thought that was one of the best interviews of the year.
And the Travel Guys go on the road once again. I'm Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. If you've listened to the show, you know we like to get off the beaten path whenever we can. And Mark, let's go north up to Portland and tell me what you found this time.
Off the beaten track is right in the middle of downtown Portland. The Thomas is one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. Late last summer, a very unique accommodation opened in downtown Portland. It's called the Tiny House Hotel. And Dev Delman, it runs it with her husband, Cole. And Dev is joining us on the line now to tell us about this incredibly unique and wonderful place in downtown Portland. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Deb.
Thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well, Deb. I understand you've been getting a lot of press lately.
Oh my gosh, it's been wild. We have quite a lot.
What was it that spurred all the interest?
You know, I think there are a lot of reasons why Caravan. It's called Caravan, the Tiny House Hotel, and I think it's kind of a convergence of different interests and timing right now that a lot of people across the country are really interested in. Excited about the tiny house movement and small housing in general. And we have a very unique, authentically Portland hotel experience for people. So I think it was just a lot of pieces that came together at the right time, and it's generated a local, national, and now international interest. So it's been very exciting for us. Yeah.
How cool is this? If you're listening to us and you're somewhere near a computer, you can go to tinyhousehotel.com to see what we're talking about, or go to Travel Guys Radio, of course, and we have a link there to Caravan, the Tiny House Hotel, and you can Deb will take you on a tour of all of the units and show you all of the places there. Deb, I mean, I can see a vision, but how did a vision become a reality?
And explain to us, for our listeners, Theater of the Mind, what it is.
It's in the Alberta Arts District, so it's on the east side of Portland. There's a very long story, of course, not fit for radio, but the short story is that my husband Cole and I both have a history of a lot of interest in small housing, both in our personal lives, and together we built a small house in our backyard and called an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU, and it connected us to kind of this whole world of people in Portland that were involved in and working on, alternative housing. And so the tiny house movement and people kind of came together in our lives and got us, I think, attuned to this exciting thing, these beautiful little homes on wheels. And we had the chance to buy an empty lot right on Alberta Street and 11th and turn it into the country's first tiny house hotel. So it was. There were a lot of pieces that kind of came together all at once, but it happened about 2.5 years ago. We approached the city to kind of start talking about the permitting and zoning process. And that was a long process. The city had never heard of anything like it because there was
Why am I not surprised there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, having a hotel, you know, on wheels and a parking lot in the middle of Alberta Street was definitely something no one really knew what to do or how to do it. And so we were very persistent. We spent a year and a half meeting with different city officials and going through the process. And then we opened our doors in July of 2013.
Well, I have to say that these are really very unique looking dwellings. They have interesting names. The Skyline looks like a two-story, and the Tandem. Now, tell folks, what would you find inside a tiny house? At a glance, you would think this looks like maybe a one-room bedroom place, but it's way more than that, isn't it?
Oh, they're way more. I mean, they're in fact fully functional houses. So all of our tiny houses have all the same systems any size house would have. So they have hot running water and flush toilets and plumbing systems and electricity and kitchens and sitting areas and beds and you know, they're tiny houses in fact. So but the cool thing about Caravan is that each of our tiny houses are totally unique. They're custom built by local builders, and they have very different designs, architectural features. Just kind of the feeling of each one is totally different. And they're very creative and artistic and funky and fun and really just beautiful inside. And we actually don't own them. We lease them from local builders. And so that gives us the capacity to rotate different models in and out of our lot so that people can come back and stay in different tiny houses each time they come.
Deb, how much does it cost to stay in a tiny house?
It's $125 a night for the first two guests. And then we charge additional for third and fourth guests. We have three of our tiny houses sleep four, one sleeps two, and we'll be getting two more soon. So we have the capacity to sleep currently 14, but we'll soon have the capacity to sleep about 20 people.
Tom, I was telling Deb that what we really should do, since I'm a tour operator and since she owns the Tiny House Hotel, that really we should have the world's tiniest tour group that should come and visit her and stay in the Tiny House Hotel. And I mean, it's just a brainstorm that it won't go away here for 20 or 30 minutes. And I can see the Tiny House Hotel in the Sports Leisure Traveler's future, because it's absolutely the kind of thing that folks look for, the opportunity to stay in a real neighborhood. And as you said, the tiny houses they all have running water. They all have electricity. You can go online and tour all of the tiny houses and really feel like that you're there. But I suspect that there's no substitute for actually coming and staying in one. Deb, do you live in a tiny house or have you?
Well, my husband Cole and I built an ADU, which is an accessory dwelling unit. It's a small house in the backyard of a primary residence. I've lived in a lot of small and very tiny houses in my past as well, little cabins and funky spaces that I've converted into really, you know, sweet living spaces. So it has been part of both of our past. And but, you know, I wanted to say your idea for a tour is fantastic. And I think one of the things that we're so excited about is that a lot of people are renting out the entire place for a night or a weekend or even a week. This summer we have a wedding where they rented all the tiny houses, and they'll have, you know, our family reunions or gatherings, or we've had birthday parties. And it's a really terrific place to gather with friends. We have all the tiny houses are centered around a central fire pit, and we provide all you can eat s'mores, and we have a barbecue and hammock and funky chairs to sit in. And so, I mean, the idea of a caravan is that it's, you know, people that are circled around a fire traditionally. Uh-huh. And we've replicated that feeling where, you know, there's a gathering place for people to hang out, whether you're in your own private group or you're there to meet other travelers who are exploring Portland and the surrounding areas. And then you have your own space to go to. So it's kind of an ideal situation. And it is right off of Alberta Street. A lot of our guests describe it as camping in the city.
By the end of the summer, Tom, I can see the first Travel Guys extended road trip. Deb, I really congratulate you. You're a wonderful lady to talk to, and we're going to roll around this idea. You will be hearing from me in short order, I think, here, because we come to Portland on a regular basis anyway. So we're just going to come up there and have a little Travel Guys party right there at the Caravan Tiny House Hotel. It's in Portland. Dev Delman and her husband, Cole, are the ones who run it. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a link there and take you on a tour of the whole place. But next time you're in Portland, even if you're not staying there, why stop by? I can't imagine that it wouldn't be a terrific photo op for anybody in the neighborhood.
I was thinking one of the issues, Deb, you're going to have is not just booking out all of the rooms all the time, but you're going to have, this is going to be a drive-by tourist attraction. Have you found that already?
It's unbelievable. We have people stopping by all day long. We have to kind of let our guests know that, you know, people are nice and they're just excited, but there we had an open house a few months ago and 1,000 people showed up waiting in line for 40 minutes to get in.
Deb, I think you and Cole go on the Shark Tank and you tell these guys that you want some money. You're going to start tiny house hotels. Oh, I can see it now. Deb and Cole Delman's tiny house hotels, 200 locations from coast to coast. Deb, congratulations on a dream coming true and on your success. And we hope to be a part of it. Deb Delman from the Caravan Tiny House Hotel in Portland. Thanks for being on the Travel Guys.
Thanks so much, guys.
And there you go. That's the kind of crazy stuff you find on this little tiny Travel Guys radio show from time to time.
You know, Tom, Sports Leisure Vacations is offering some trips to the Tiny House Hotel at the end of April and early May. If you're listening to the program today, go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there, and you can actually go and stay the night in one of the Tiny House hotels in Portland. We're going to do some fun food tours and some shopping things and stuff. There's only going to be 8 or 9. These are tiny tours to the Tiny House Hotel in Portland. TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a link there.
Earlier this year, we had our very first Travel Guys road trip, and we went to San Francisco and we rode, ladies and gentlemen, the Magic Bus.
Oh, yeah.
And prior to us actually going on the trip, we had an opportunity to speak with Gabe, who runs the Magic Bus, and we're going to have that interview for you coming up after the break in about 3 minutes right here on the Best Of edition of the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome back to this special Best Of edition of the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. We are playing for you some of our favorite interviews from this year. First, we had the tiny houses up in Portland, and last summer we did our first ever listener trip to San Francisco to do something really fun. We rode the Magic Bus, and before we took folks down to San Francisco, we talked to the folks on the Magic Bus so everybody would know where we were going and what we were doing. And if you ever get an opportunity, the Magic Bus in San Francisco is a lot of fun. And well, listen to this, and you'll learn all about the Magic Bus.
Sounds to me like The Who and the song Magic Bus.
It does.
Well,
it takes me back.
Yeah, it takes you back. I remember those hippie days. You had that really long hair. You
still got had long hair.
Yeah, you still got that turkey leg thing that you used to wear around your neck.
I never looked like a hippie. You, on the other hand, have morphed a little bit over the years.
Oh, my gosh. I got pictures with hair down to my you-know-where almost. All right, welcome. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, Travel and Entertainment, and it's time to return to San Francisco, isn't it, Mark?
It is. When the Travel Guys first went back on the air last winter, one of our first guests was Gabriel from the Magic Bus down in San Francisco, and we got to talking, and after we talked to Gabriel, we said, you know, I mean, if we were going to do a Travel Guys trip, that would be a great place to start. So much conversation has ensued since, and the weather has finally warmed up. And by golly, the first Travel Guys road trip is about to take place, and we're going to give you an opportunity to be able to win your seats. You'll be able to have a chance to pay to go with us later, but for right now, we're going to give you a chance to win the seats. And after we get done with the interview here, we'll tell you a little bit, so stay tuned. We'll tell you how you can win seats to go with us on the Magic Bus. But right now, joining us on the phone is Gabe Derita. Hi, Gabe.
Howdy, gentlemen. How are we this afternoon?
Hey, pretty good. How are things with the Magic Bus in San Francisco?
Well, today it's sunny and lovely here in San Francisco, and things are really picking up for the summer around here.
So, Gabe, for folks who weren't with us the first time, how long has the Magic Bus been around in San Francisco?
The Magic Bus now is headed into its fifth year on the road. We were started as part of the International Arts Festival in 2010 as a theater concept designed to showcase the city's counterculture history and take folks back in time to that magical summer of love.
It's kind of interesting how that the counterculture has become the culture. Can you take us on a ride, if you would, Gabe, in the experience of the Magic Bus?
Well, the Magic Bus travels through time and space. So let's start with space, because that's easier for folks to visualize in San Francisco. We begin our journey in Union Square and take folks up through Chinatown and into North Beach and cruise through the financial district to basically say hi to the man and turn up onto Market Street and head through Central Market area where there was a lot of great historic music venues and protest marches that happened in the 60s. Then we cruise up, of course, through the epicenter of the hippie universe to the Haight-Ashbury. We stop in Golden Gate Park at the Conservatory of Flowers, which we like to call the city's central flower power generation station. And sometimes there's a drum circle or something going on there. You can hop in and dig the vibe. Then we head back out through the Lower Haight, past Civic Center, and back to Union Square for about a two-hour loop through the city. And aboard the show, we discuss a lot of different things that happened in and around the city and the world throughout the 60s, not just the hippie movement, but the show really tries to build a visual narrative of all the city's counterculture moments. And, you know, when we go through North Beach and Chinatown, we're talking about the beatniks and the Eastern influence of kind of these new ideas coming from the West, like Zen Buddhism and meditation. You even heard sitars on Beatles records, and all of that came from being exposed to Eastern culture, living in the most Western city in the Western world.
So, and Gabe, it's not only a look at what people would traditionally think of San Francisco back in the 60s, but it's a look at what San Francisco looked like at that time in other parts of the city also.
True. So it's not just about the hippies. It's about, you know, the entire counterculture movement, as I said. And there's a lot of different things we cover in a lot of different neighborhoods. And we're able to achieve this effect with the actual use of digital projection screens that come up and down over the windows of the bus and show people archival audio and video of different neighborhoods in the city as we travel around. So maybe we're going past a beatnik cafe in North Beach and we have some audio recording of Jack Kerouac reading poetry in there, or we're traveling through a park adjacent to the Haight-Ashbury where the Grateful Dead used to play free shows and the Diggers gave out food, and we got footage of Jerry Garcia on a flatbed truck ripping it up in a free show in the Panhandle. So there's a lot of opportunities to really see the past and present kind of blend together on the show.
Wow. I look across here at Tom, and I can see the memories flowing through
his
brain.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you bet. You bet, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well. Certainly not just a bus ride by any stretch of the imagination. Very creative technology has gone into this, and I can't wait in August to make this trip, and some lucky winners are going to be going with us.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's not just the AV technology. We also have a hippie hostess on board who's the tribe, leads our tribe through time and gives everybody a fresh flower for their hair. Because, you know, when you're going to San Francisco, you got to wear a flower in your hair. And we keep that tradition alive aboard the bus. So you have a mother goddess guiding you through the city as well.
This is going to be so much fun. We are Saturday, August the 2nd is the date. If you would like to go with us, you need to go to travelguysradio.com right now or sometime during the week. You will see there on the homepage a very simple little entry form. We're just looking for your name, either your phone number or your email address, so we can contact you. And we'd like to know why you would like to go with us on the Magic Bus. And based on your very creative answer, why we're going to pull a winner and award our first couple of tickets on the air next week. So go to travelguysradio.com, and you can win two seats, one for you and one for a friend, to go with us on the Magic Bus on August the 2nd in San Francisco. Gabe, it sounds like really a lot of fun. You say the Magic Bus has been going for 5 years. Has it changed much in 5 years, the route or what you do or...?
We haven't really changed the route too much. We've enriched a lot of the content, especially with the role of the hostess as kind of a guide. The show has become more flexible, so she's able to respond more to the traffic and scenarios around the bus, because a lot of the cues are location-based, so we have a bit more flexibility in the programming, but the essential content has remained the same, and our hostesses have taken some initiative to do their own homework into the history around the places we visit. So the show is more dynamic, where each individual on the bus who's giving the tour is able to tell her favorite stories about things that might have happened in the area. So it's really gotten to the point where we've done our homework and found some great little anecdotes to find a little gems hidden in the city as we drive by.
Awesome. Awesome, Gabe. And by the way, folks, you can go to travelguysradio.com. Here again, your chance to sign up for your chance to win. And, of course, we'll have a link there to Gabe's Magic Bus website.
Because if you're not going with us on August the 2nd,
yes,
Gabe would love to see you on the Magic Bus on another day.
Yeah, because what you got to ask yourself is, are you on the bus or off the bus, man?
I love it. The first Travel Guys road trip on the Magic Bus. August the 2nd, go to travelguysradio.com to sign up. Gabe, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. We'll probably check back in with you once again before August the 2nd comes up, and then we'll be bringing all the radio gear and stuff with us on August the 2nd. We'll probably have more fun than you can have without getting arrested.
Great. Thanks, gentlemen. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
Well, of course, you can't go to Travel Guys Radio and sign up to win because that was all the way back last summer. But the good news is that we are going to have, Thomas, another trip on the Magic Bus next summer. I've already talked to Gabe and set it up for June, and so after the first of the year, we'll talk about it and give people a chance to win or join us, and we'll go. Would you go on the Magic Bus again?
I absolutely would.
That was a tremendous amount of fun. All right, this is a special edition of the Travel Guys. We're offering some of our favorite interviews from throughout the year. We've gone to the tiny houses up in Portland. We've gone on the Magic Bus. After the break, we're going to take you up to Seabiscuits Ranch near Ukiah. We spoke to those folks earlier this year, and they told us all about a place that a lot of folks don't know anything about. And then we had a special guest who rents his house out on Airbnb, and we'll talk to him after in the second half of the program. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Radio KFBK.
I'm a traveling man.
You're tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK, heard every Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's the Best Of show today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman to my left, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We've been on the radio. We were on, what is this? We're heading into year four?
Well, yeah, we've been on the radio 3 years out of four. I mean, we took a year off while I was being chairman of the National Tour Association, and you were gracious enough to come back and be on the radio with me this last year.
I love doing this. A lot of people ask me, Tom, you know, you hold down a regular job,
yeah,
But then again, you want to devote part of your Sundays to coming in and doing this show. Isn't that a burden?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have to say, I always look forward to coming in and doing the show and spending time with you and our listeners. Our listeners probably aren't as aware of it as I am, but I get as much out of these shows doing them, education-wise as a traveler, as probably our listeners do. So I get double benefits here.
Yeah, well, and you tend to ask the questions that the listeners would ask, so I think that's a big benefit to the program, because sometimes as a road warrior and a person who's in the travel industry, I sometimes forget that, you know, the guy on the street has a different question than the guy who travels every day. It really is a joy to be able to. It is a lot of work to do an hour radio program once a week, and all the interviews and rounding up the guests and chasing after people. And lots of times we go after folks for a week or two or three, and then ultimately they aren't interested, or they turn us down, or we tape an interview with them and they don't sound very good. We can't really put them on the air. So, you know, doing a live radio program once a week for an audience is, I think it's really, I've always enjoyed being on the radio. And Tom, you know, you and I have known each other for 30 years now, 30 plus years, and you're as consummate a radio professional as there is in this town, and it's always been. I did some sports way back in the day, so it's always been a lot of fun to. Radio is a, you know, when you say see you on the radio, I just think,
yep,
that's a fun place to be. All right, let's get on with the second half of the program here. We've waxed nostalgic a little bit. Earlier this year, we took folks up to up by Ukiah,
mm-hmm,
where an American legend, literally American legend, is buried, Seabiscuit, the racehorse. And I thought it was really one of our best interviews of the year.
Mark, I have to start off by asking you the question, who was the America Horse of the Year in 1938?
In 1938. Wow, the year before Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz came onto the scene.
Oh, you know the answer.
It was Seabiscuit, absolutely.
Probably one of the most famous horses of all time. And you and your travelers know quite a bit about Seabiscuit because By golly, you guys have been to where Seabiscuit ended up in his later years.
Well, and most folks don't know, Tom, that there is a historic site along Highway 101 just south of Willits. And we have with us today June Donaldson. June is the Volunteer Media and Promotions Director for the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation. Good afternoon, June.
Good afternoon.
And thank you for joining us today. Now, June, Tom has a special piece of information for us today that relates to the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation. And remembering that most folks don't know that it's that this particular site is just south of Willits, June, tell our listeners about what they would find if they come over to the Ridgewood Ranch south of Willits.
Well, first of all, they'd find some spectacular country. I mean, the Ridgewood Ranch itself is just a beautiful piece of property. And, of course, the history of that ranch is that when Seabiscuit retired from racing at the age of 7 years after setting the racing world in particular and just lay people around the world on fire with what he accomplished. This is where Seabiscuit retired at the age of 7. And Seabiscuit passed away at this ranch and is buried at the ranch. And it's very special to go there and realize the significance that this horse had on people around the world and, you know, be standing on land and think, wow, you know, here we have a horse that we are still talking about just about 70 years after the horse died. And, you know, I often laugh to myself and say, gee, I wonder how many people will be singing my praises 70 years after I die.
Honestly. Well, you know, the story of Seabiscuit, of course, as a result of the movie, for a lot of the younger generation was brought forward versus those that perhaps lived during the Depression and how this yes. this horse of very small stature that wasn't expected to do anything became really a national hero with his many as 78,000 people coming to watching race and millions listening on, get this, listening on the radio to the
races. Yeah, yeah. June, now yeah. There, something very special has happened at the Seabiscuit site here just recently. Fill us in.
Absolutely. Well, Jacqueline Cooper, who is the president of the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation, about 18 months ago, took it on to have the Seabiscuit Stud Barn, which, by the way, has been beautifully restored, and in large part with the help of the Rotary Club of Willits. Mm-hmm. But Jacqueline took it on to make the application to have Seabiscuit Stud Barn declared a U.S. historic site. And so that all became official 22nd of January. And we're just delighted about that because, you know, it really solidifies Seabiscuit's home and name in a very special way.
Now, a couple times a month, June, people can come to the site and enjoy a guided tour there. I'm seeing on your website where there are bi-monthly guided tours. It's $20. And as someone who has taken many a sports leisure traveler has been to Ridgewood Ranch, and in fact, this August, if you're listening and you're interested in going to the Seabiscuit Ranch site, well, you can go with Sports Leisure Vacations this August because we have a trip going to Mendocino and Fort Bragg that stops there. But folks can come and visit you on their own just by going to the website and arranging for to be a part of one of the tours, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And there's a wonderful story that gets told as the tour unfolds. I mean, I ended up going to the ranch a few years ago because it was on my bucket list. And so it's one thing to do a tour of a facility, but it's another thing to hear the story behind the story,
sure,
if
yeah.
you will.
You're Canadian, am I correct?
That's right.
Okay, so how does a Canadian get involved in, I mean, it seems like kind of a long shot. Willits and Calgary are not all that close to each other.
Oh, but you know what? We are, and let me tell you why. because Red Pollard, who was the primary jockey of Seabiscuit,
right,
and who raced Seabiscuit when he won the Santa Anita Handicap on March the 2nd, 1940, and won at that time a $100,000 purse, which is phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. Red Pollard was born in Edmonton, Alberta, which is the province I'm from, of
Aha.
course.
Aha! Well, we found the Canadian connection.
And George Wolfe, who rode Seabiscuit in the race against War Admiral at Pimlico, he is from Cardston, Alberta. And so both of Seabiscuit's jockeys were born in Alberta and got to know each other at the Vancouver racetrack, Vancouver, British Columbia racetrack. And then, of course, you know, as they say, the rest is history. Because
so how did you develop your passion for Seabiscuit?
Well, there were two reasons. Certainly, when I took a look at what had been done to recognize and honor Red Pollard, I didn't think enough had been done. So I took it upon myself to ask the city of Edmonton if they would rename a street going into Northlands Park the Red Pollard Way. And I worked with the city of Edmonton, and we made it happen. And then, you know, from that point, I was bitten by the Seabiscuit bug.
If you want to go to Ridgewood Ranch, I have to tell you, I've been there, and it is well worth almost the drive all the way over there. Yeah. Especially if you're already headed to Fort Bragg, it's a hot summer day or something. But if you go to travelguysradio.com, we will have a connection to the Seabiscuit Ranch, and show you how it will tell you how you can get a tour over there and how you can hear the whole story. June, thank you so much for sharing with us today on the Travel Guys and telling us a little bit about this really cool site in Northern California.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. That's our Seabiscuit interview. We enjoyed that one. And Mark, I understand that Sports Leisure Vacations is going to be visiting Seabiscuit again.
We visited Seabiscuit last summer.
Well, not so much Seabiscuit himself.
Well, no. I mean, Seabiscuit is and you know, they don't tell people where Seabiscuit is.
He's on that property.
He's on that property, though, but they don't tell you where he is. Yes, we do go up and see Seabiscuit from once a year or so when we head up and do the skunk train and stuff like that. Remember, you know, Tom, the sharing economy has probably been one of the biggest news stories this year. The whole Lyft and Uber.
Oh, yeah.
And, gosh, it seems a week doesn't go by those guys aren't in trouble with somebody or they're not doing something that's really outlandish and stuff. Airbnb has also been where people rent out their homes or a room in their homes or things like that. That's also was a huge phenomenon this year. When we come back after the break, we have an interview with a man who, Tom Claycomb, who rented out his home and was gracious enough to come on and explain how all that works with us right on the air.
There you go. That's coming up in about 3.5 minutes right here on the Best Of edition of the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Here we go. We're into the final segment of the final show for 2014 here on News Radio KFBK. We are the Travel Guys, heard every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we're doing a best of show today, and we've got a great one coming up.
Yeah, we do. The sharing economy has been a big story this year, and one of the ways that people are sharing now is to rent out unused rooms in their own home. So we had Tom Claycomb, who is a man just south of Sacramento, who rents out his home, and he explained to us how it all works.
We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and you've heard us talk over the last few weeks about something called Airbnb. Mark, for those that may not have heard any of our previous programs, why don't you start off and tell folks a little bit about what Airbnb is before you introduce our guest today, okay?
Well, Tom, it is one of the newer internet phenomenons. It started about 5 years ago. They had some very rough sledding in the beginning, but for the last few years, it has been growing by leaps and bounds. It is an internet sensation. It's spelled Airbnb, literally A-I-R-B-N-B. B. That's how you spell it. And you can look it up on the internet. You can go to travelguysradio.com and there'll be a link there. But the concept here is that people can rent out their homes or parts of their home to other travelers who are coming from far away and might be in need of accommodations and not be desirous of hotels or some of the other cookie cutter accommodations that might be available to them. So it's kind of like StubHub for hotel rooms, Tom, if you will. People have extra tickets, so they try to peddle them online to other people. Well, here people have extra space in their home or their condo or their vacation home or whatever it might be. And so they're trying to make a buck that way. Sounds like a pretty good idea to me.
Sure does. And we had a listener give us a call after hearing about our conversation on KFBK about Airbnb, and we'd like to welcome to the program Tom Claycomb. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome, Tom. It's nice to have you here. Now, I understand you're in a little town of Oakley, which is near Antioch. So you're kind of sort of halfway between Sacramento and San Francisco. And thank you for being a KFBK listener. And you and your wife have been renting out a room in your home now for the better part of a year with Airbnb. How is that going for you?
It's going excellent. Actually, it's several rooms. We have two bedrooms available, which is one of the advantages that a lot of people need two bedrooms instead of just one. And it's gone very well.
What prompted you, Tom, to want to get involved in the Airbnb program? How did you hear about it? What was the decision like?
We have a large ranch-style home, and we raised our three daughters here, but we have the empty nest syndrome now. And so we've had guests here over the years. We've had weddings and family reunions and had guests. So we said, hey, why not rent out some of these bedrooms? And so we started doing that. My wife looked up on the internet, found Airbnb, and the rest is history. We went on there on June 11th, and we've had wonderful people here from seven different states, a couple of different guys from Canada. Our favorites were the young Russian family that was here for 16 days. We even had one lady that was born and raised in Korea, but she's a U.S. citizen now. So just wonderful people that we've had. And if you go on to our site, you can see the wonderful reviews that they've given us. So it's really been a wonderful experience.
It strikes me, Tom Romano, that Tom Claycomb here, his house sounds like, you know, there's always a house in the neighborhood where the kids gravitate to when you're growing up and, you know, where it seems like things are always happening and stuff like that. It kind of becomes a hub place. It sounds like Tom's home maybe is someplace like that because it sounds like he and his wife are certainly very open to meeting people from other places. Tom, if you don't mind, tell us what does a night renting one of the extra bedrooms in your home, what does that cost somebody if they go on the Airbnb website?
We currently, Airbnb lets you set your own price, but we currently have, if you rent one of the bedrooms, it's $65 per night, and then we have weekly and monthly rates also. But if you rent both of the bedrooms, say you have a couple and maybe two kids that want the twin bedroom, then it's only $50 for this second room.
Now, Tom,
it'd be $115 for both rooms.
Okay, so and some percentage of that you pay to Airbnb, or they extract a percentage of that before they settle up with you?
That is correct. The Airbnb, if I was charging say $100 for, they would add on additional amount for you if you were renting it. And then whatever amount that they're paying to us, they collect 3%, and which I think is for the amount of service that they give to us and everything, that's fantastic. They charge us nothing for listing with them.
I have to ask you, Tom, do the people have access to, you know, the kind of the run of the house and the yard? Do you provide them with meals? Is it, since it is referred to as a B&B, tell me about what a guest is, well, I guess the term, entitled to staying with you.
Yes. The first question, yes, they have complete access to our home, including the swimming pool and spa, you know, with the exception of our master bedroom, which we stay in. We're on site all the time. We started out just going to serve continental breakfast, but then, you know, we like to eat too. So when my wife's fixing breakfast, we'll fix whatever they want, eggs, pancakes, whatever. And then a lot of times the people are here and then they ask, well, can they barbecue out there? And I said, sure, go ahead and barbecue. And then they invite us to join them. So it's just, you know, they kind of become like family. And if you read our reviews, you'll find that's what we do. By the time they leave, they feel like they're family.
Tom, I got to ask you this. Have there been any misfires? Have you had anybody come and stay in your home that you thought to yourself, well, you know, if they wanted to come back, maybe not so much?
I'm knocking on wood right now and saying no. We've been very fortunate, had wonderful people that some of them still email us, you know, and we become friends.
I related to you on the phone before we started the interview that I've had some challenges in getting the Airbnb people to come on the air, and that was a little disconcerting to me, but that you, as someone who works with them, that you have access and you have a helpline to get assistance and stuff like that. So if I call you a vendor for a second, because that's kind of your relationship, that you have no communication problems per se with Airbnb.
Absolutely none. We probably had to call the help desk, you know, even when we were listing for help with that. And I don't know, probably at least a dozen or a couple dozen times. And every time we've gotten some person on the phone that has been very helpful, very articulate, and had wonderful service from them.
Tom, it sounds like that you and your wife have had really some wonderfully positive experiences with Airbnb. And I really do thank you for taking a few minutes with us, for reaching out to us, and allowing us to spend a few minutes with you to talk about your experiences with Airbnb, because I think they are of great value to our listeners. For those casual people out there who have never done anything like this, either on the buying side or the selling side, here's a man who has had some tremendous success with it. Tom, best of success to you and your wife, and thanks for being a loyal KFBK and Travel Guys listener.
Thank you, and stay in touch with us.
And there you go, folks, the final segment, final interview, the best of the best Travel Guys interviews for 2014.
All right, we just got a few seconds here, Tom. The lucky sports leisure winner this week is?
Gene Voris. That's Gene Voris, V-O-R-I-S. Gene, you call the Sports Leisure Vacations office Monday or Tuesday. Tell them that you're the Travel Guys winner, and you'll be awarded a gift card worth $125 on the trip of your choice.
And so that wraps up a whole, not only a week, but a whole year with the Travel Guys. It takes a lot of people to put this show on. So to Luis and to Tom and to all the folks who are our guests and who help us make this program happen every week, a huge thank you. Thomas, it's a pleasure to come in and spend an hour on the radio with you every week.
Well, you know, folks say, Tom, you don't travel nearly as much as Mark. In fact, only a fraction of it. How can you be the Travel Guy? And it's because, you see, Mark is the Travel Guy, and I know the Travel Guy. And I take advantage of that. So there you have it. It's not quite that simple. But, folks, thank you so much for joining us all year. We'll look forward to seeing you, well, a week from today. First show of the 2015 coming your way. We'll be live in studio. In the meantime, you have yourself a very, very safe and wonderful new year. God bless, and we'll see you next time on the radio, on the Travel Guys.